Dr. Google can't fix your knee. The Joint Relief Institute can. Fast joint pain relief, covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Thank you very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. It is 12 minutes after 12 o'clock. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. Let's jump right into it. Terry Savage is on a phone line. You can read her columns at terrysavage.com or at the Huffington Post, and of course here every Wednesday afternoon as well. Terry, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Glad to be with you.
All right, so let's start.
Not a bad day today.
It's not a bad day. Explain it for me, because we were down quite a bit earlier. The Dow's down 20 points now, and it looks like oil that's jumping up. $1.94, it is up $1.94 a barrel so far today.
You know, I don't know if you've ever been out on a boat in Lake Michigan in the summer when the weather's kind of okay, but the currents and the waves are so choppy,
right?
You don't know quite where to sit. And that's kind of the economy this week and today in particular with the news reports. The Institute of Supply Management came out with a report that just, let's call it, said the economy was weakening somewhat, and that was not good news. And obviously the Fed can't raise rates in an economy that's weakening, so there was concern the economy would be weak. That's bad news for the stock market. The ADP report, which is the people who process checking for private corporations, and they really have a finger on the pulse. Mind you, not government jobs, though, but of the private economy. And they came out with a report of new job creation that was slightly better than expected. So that shows strength in the economy. Well, that would be good news for profits and stocks, but oops, maybe it would give the Fed reason to raise rates again. So this is so choppy. I think we can dissect it minute by minute, but it doesn't make a lot of impact on your long-term investment outlook.
Well, let's look at a little bit the ADP report. They said that 205,000 jobs were created in January. I think they were expecting a little bit less than that.
The number was about 190,000. But just to keep it in perspective, in December they reported an increase of 257,000 jobs. And that was far higher than was expected, because you remember in December we were entering that Christmas slowdown, pre-Christmas
right.
Slowdown. My goodness, GDP will be weak in the fourth quarter thing. So we get some good news about jobs, we get some bad news about industrial production and so forth, and it goes back and forth. And energy not only reacts to our domestic information and to supplies building, but to what's going on in the Middle East and Russia and so forth. So it's very hard to discern a trend here, and that's why you don't want to bounce yourself around, because odds are you'll make a mistake.
All right, let me ask you this. How often is it easy to discern a trend? Because, you know, someone who watches from a distance, every time I see a story that I think is going to be a good news story, I hear about the downside of it. And it seems as if there's never anything clear cut when it comes to these issues.
Well, let me say that it is 100% easy to discern a trend. In hindsight,
I can do that, Terry.
So if you, I used to love when stock charts were printed on paper and you'd get a book of them. I used to put my hand smack over the middle of a chart, any chart, and say, now looking at all that I can see on the left-hand side of the chart, what I think the stock is going up, down, or staying the same. And, you know, people make an art and a science of trying to forecast the future, whether it's charts or statistics. You never know. Be the longest term trend. The longest term trend is being, quote, bullish on America. Now, that meant you had to ride out some big ups and downs in the market. So the question is, what's your time horizon for a trend? Is it, if you're a day trader, is it, you know, buy at the opening and sell at the close, or sell at the opening and buy at the close? You have to determine what the trend is and what your risk tolerance is when things get out of what you predict the trend will be.
Okay, so if we're watching it from a distance and with a certain degree of ignorance, I'm happy to be in that camp. What do you think is the best indicator of the economy? I mean, a lot of people look at the stock market. The jobs numbers seem to have been very good over the past several months. Is it the GDP? I mean, what's sort of the primer here? What is it that we should be watching to truly gauge the economy?
That's tough. You know why? Because what you really probably need, if you assume the Fed has a huge influence. That's a big assumption, but they still have the most visible influence over the economy. Maybe they're following a little bit, but they do have an influence on the market anyway. Then you have to watch what the Fed is watching, okay? And the Fed has announced that it, you know, it has a dual mandate, stable prices, that is not falling prices as well as not soaring prices, mm-hmm. stable prices and, well, as close to full employment or as they can get. So, you know, the Fed is looking at these good employment numbers today, and the government's unemployment numbers will come out Friday, and going, well, yeah, maybe slowing somewhere, maybe manufacturing's impacted by the strong dollar, but, you know, people are still getting jobs, and prices aren't going up, you know, they're kind of deflationary. So the Fed's probably still see strength. So it's like keeping your, you know, that thing about hockey players that are so great because they know they skate to where the puck is going.
Right.
We have to watch what the Fed is watching to see where they're going. So right now, I think all eyes are on the Fed. It's hard to imagine they could raise rates again, but who knows? That's a good way of saying I don't know what's most important now. It changes day to day and report to report.
It was a very eloquent answer nonetheless. Terry Savage is on the phone line. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Terry and I are going to apply for a job at Home Depot, and then we're going to talk about security on your phone. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. Steve Bertrand on this Wednesday afternoon. Terry Savage is on a phone line today. You can read her columns at terrysavage.com or in the Huffington Post. Mm-hmm. And Terry, I said going into the break that we are going to apply for a job at the Home Depot this spring.
I want a job at Home Depot. I don't want a job there because you have to know about all those nuts and bolts and screws and all those things. I like those people there.
There's a great line from their spokesman today. He said, you know, spring is our Christmas, and so they're gearing up for the planting season and for the outdoor season by hiring 80,000 workers around the country. That's about 40, 45 workers per store. So there's someone who's hiring.
Well, you know, that's what's so mixed about the economy. You know, it's hard to get jobs in manufacturing because our manufacturers are priced out of the market, but you sure can get jobs in the service economy.
Yeah, and so I want to talk to you a little bit. And, you know, we touched on it for a bit last week about ways to protect your phone, your mobile device, when it comes to security, because people are going to be banking more and more when it comes to their cellular phone, and people aren't going into the bank, and they're not even so much now using the ATM outside. They're using their cell phones. And last week we talked about the fact of why it's important to use the app for your bank rather than log on.
Yeah, I've got a new column that's going up. I'm kind of, I don't know why, nothing personal, I hope not, but I'm kind of obsessed with security and theft and identity theft and technology. So I have a new column that'll be going up today.
Oh, okay.
And this extends the mobile phone one to identity theft, and I'll tell you why. Javelin Research just came out with it. They do this every year with its 2016 identity fraud study. And there's some good news and some bad news. Of course, 13 million Americans were victimized by identity theft last year. That's enough to shake you because it makes you feel like you are you're eventually going to be a victim. But what's really got me a little bit scared is that the credit card fraud, the kind of point of sale where, you know, someone swipes your magnetic information, that's going away as more and more of these chip cards are put into use, these EMVs. But the bad news is that these guys aren't going away. They're doing different kinds of fraud, much of it online where the chips don't help you. And they are doing stuff on a much more global sense, taking the identity of yours that they can find and either opening new accounts, which don't impact your credit report, and creating bank accounts, washing money through and leaving with huge debits, or taking this information to buy stuff overseas.
Wait, if they
so
take you, if they open up a,
is changing.
But if they open up a bank account using your information, how wouldn't that affect your credit report?
Now, suppose they deposit $10,000. You open an account and say, I won't even use my name. You know, I'm Sue Smith, and here's my address, and here's my information, and here's my Social Security number. Only they slightly change the address, and the information is mailed to them. And they deposit some checks, and then they overdraft the account. Got your Social Security on it. The bank finds you, and they never had to get, the bank didn't require a credit report check if you're depositing in and then going to overdraft an account if you're a
fraudster. I see. Okay.
So I have two suggestions. The first one is a simple one I've often given, that unless you're about to go out and buy a house or apply for new life insurance or buy a new car, you might as well freeze your credit. Go to annualcreditreport.com, get your credit report from each of the three bureaus, check on it, and then put a freeze on it. If you haven't been a victim yet, it'll cost you a little bit of money. You can unfreeze it at any time.
Let me stop you there then. So then I say I go to a store, and they say 20% off if you open up a credit card today.
Yeah, then you don't do that. But, I mean, we're now past the point of being enticed by 10 or 15 or 20% off at the time of purchase, because that's the kind of processing where they go right to the credit bureau. You'll frozen yourself out of that. But because, Steve, I mentioned that a lot of the new fraud is not at the store, the kind of fraud that we've been traditionally seeing, you know, unauthorized charges on your existing cards. For the first time, I always used to think it was enough to check your credit cards. I do that a couple times a week, the balances online and my bank statements. But I think now you have to consider using something like LifeLock because they monitor the dark web where your name and address may be being traded and stolen. And they also have, I know it sounds like I'm doing a commercial for them, and I've held off on this for years and years now thinking you could do it yourself. But as this identity theft kind of thing morphs, you want, A, the protection that we're monitoring the use of your name and address anywhere, including the dark web, and services that help you restore your credit if you are dinged. So I think we're entering into a new world. I'd like to be ahead of the curve. The thieves are getting more sophisticated. They have to because of these chip cards. And I'm not sure you can protect yourself by just monitoring yourself.
Terry Savage, thank you very much for your help today. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve.
That's Terry Savage. He'll be back again next Wednesday afternoon here on The Business Lunch. Thank you very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here on The Business Lunch on this Wednesday afternoon. Coming up a little bit later in the half hour, we'll be joined by Star Cunningham. She's the founder and CEO of 4D Healthware, which is a very cool product. She also happens to be a female African-American entrepreneur. And here we are in Black History Month. I thought it might be interesting to talk to her. You know, we hear from so many different people about efforts to reach out and to be all inclusive. We talked just about that with some funding last week. And Star Cunningham is someone who's done it. 4D Healthware is the product. Check it out ahead of the interview because it's a pretty cool thing. And you might be wearing it one day. Scott Kleinberg probably is more likely than any of us to be wearing it first. He writes about social media for the Chicago Tribune. Scott, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Steve.
All right. So I just teased ahead of the news the fact that you were going to talk about how we might soon be using our iPhones without even touching them.
Yes. Yes.
They're going to be reading our minds?
No, not quite. Close. And I've always wanted the
opportunity. Not yet.
Not yet. Right. Yes. Give that another 2 years and that'll happen. So Apple has filed this patent that was approved, and it's for inline proximity sensors. And when I tried to read this patent and understand it, it was like going back to calculus all over again.
Did you really do that?
I was never good at that. Oh, I went through it, and I tried to look at the diagrams, and there's lots of math on there, and it's difficult, but I figured out the best way to explain it. So your iPhone right now has proximity sensors in them. When you lift up your phone, that's how it knows to turn the screen off when it's in front of your ear. And when you bring it back down, the screen comes on. And it's kind of like the light in the refrigerator. Like you think it's happening, you know it's happening, but it is happening.
Wait, I never really knew that happened.
Yes. If you're on the phone or talking to someone, if you lift the phone up, the screen turns dark. But then when you put it back down, it comes back on.
And why does it do that?
It does that because it doesn't need to be on when it's on your ear. I mean, if you think about the fact that you're talking, it doesn't need to waste battery. It doesn't need to do any of those things at that particular moment in time. And when you bring it back down, it comes back on. This is the same type of thing. It's an inline sensor, meaning it'll be all over the phone. So the concept is instead of swiping on the actual phone to do something, you could swipe over the top of it in theory, and it would know that you're touching it even though you're not touching it.
How does it know?
It would know because of the sensors, just like it knows
so
when you're lifting.
So the sensors are picking up a difference in heat or in air currents?
Heat, light, all kinds of things put together. So it would know, and you could have a completely different, you know, gesture for that. I mean, if you swipe one way with your finger or if you wave, it does something else. But the thing I love most about it is, to me, it means, and it sounds like I already said it, to me, it means all the times in the winter when you're wearing gloves and you need either special kind of gloves or gloves with holes in them, you know, to use the screen, this would in theory mean that you would be able to just wave above it and it would work.
And see, I see it being then going haywire because every time something moves in front of it, you know, it's going to sort of react to you know, the kid brushing by it or the baseball going over it or whatever.
And I think that is the very reason why this isn't happening in the next iPhone. It'll probably take a year or two or something, you know, to get it together. They haven't said when yet, but, you know, there's lots of things that go by touch and sensors, like your Roomba vacuum cleaner. For the same reasons, you don't want that going crazy either.
All right. I want to talk about, well, what are we going to go? I want to talk about Facebook a little bit, but okay. Before I do that, there's a power cord recall that you wrote about that I wasn't aware about. Real quick, what do we need to know about that?
So 2.25 million power cords, Microsoft recall these power cords that go with the Surface Pro, which is their version of the touch tablet, and there's something up with them where it could be a shock hazard, so they recall these. But this comes like 3 days after Apple recall, and this is not in the U.S. Internationally, Apple recalled a bunch of AC adapters that go with various products in international markets. So it kind of happened at the same time. And this Microsoft one was definitely a bigger recall, although it's for one type of product, but 2.25 million is still a decent amount.
All right, let's go to Facebook. So the iPhone is trying to figure out what we want to do by the way we move our hands around it.
Yes.
Facebook's always trying to figure out which posts we want to read.
They're trying, yes.
And they say they've got a new sort of effort.
A new sort of effort that's going to change the order in which you see things, potentially what you see totally. So if in the past few months you have seen some sort of survey pop up on your Facebook that has said, tell us what you think of this story. Do you like this story? Do you want to see more of this? Do you want to see less of this? You'll see those any given time. Facebook will send those out to different people. They're taking the results of these surveys that they've sent out over these months, and they're applying it to the algorithm, and they're going to say, based on all of these people saying they don't like this type of story, mm-hmm. we're going to show less of these stories, which makes sense because that's what they're always doing to fine-tune the algorithm. The thing that's interesting here is it's very, very subjective. You know, you may like a very specific kind of story, you know, a quiz.
I don't want to see cats on my computer.
Well, then you're probably in luck, because I think that's exactly what they're trying to weed out. They're trying to weed out the crazy things that say, you won't believe the 10,000 things this cat will do if you rub it for good luck, you know, that type of stuff. But it raises the possibility.
So this is done in general, by general survey, not by individual user.
No, totally by general survey. So they're taking a lot of results and they're putting them into a lot of different buckets and saying, okay, it's time for us to retool what we're showing, and this will change the way we see it.
Don't they also sometimes react by what I click on, though? And here's why I ask. Yeah. I'm not on most of my Facebook interaction is I post things and then I read interaction by email. When someone posts on my page, I see it by email. I don't go to the page and look at a lot of other posts.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I do occasionally.
Right.
So my worry is that because when I do it a few times a week, it's going to make those hyper important, and then you know what I mean? That's going to define what gets posted on my feed.
They say that's not going to happen. Is that possible? Yeah, it's definitely possible, because if you interact with one kind of very specific content all the time, the chances of you seeing that content more often are stronger.
Right.
I mean, just like what I do for the Tribune, you know, the people who interact most with Tribune content on Tribune pages are likely to see that content more than someone else who comes once a week, once a month.
All right, let's go to Twitter. They've changed some things up too, and I hadn't really thought of this, but I guess in the past, I know on your phone, when you go to the Twitter page or Twitter feed and you're not a member, you pretty much see a login feed.
Just a login screen, yes.
So there's no way to sort of get a taste of Twitter without joining.
Correct.
And they want to change that.
They want to, and they have started just this week. And it's been this past year, actually, they've been doing it on desktop. They haven't done it on mobile. And that's one of the complaints that a lot of people have. It's like all of these, they say they have 320 million users a month, but 500 million users go to Twitter.com. If you go to Twitter.com and you don't have an account and you see a login screen, you're seeing nothing.
So that's 160 million people they're losing.
Correct.
I mean, that they could be bringing in.
Correct. So they're bringing tweets to the log off screen, and now they're expanding it where you can see a tweet, you can go into another reply from another person, all while you're logged out. Now, that's good for the reasons you said. It's bad because Twitter needs you to log in to target you with ads. So they're missing the ad targeting possibilities by doing that, but they're also doing another thing that's very risky. By showing you tweets in a log off screen from the most popular people at the given moment, are they making it so you don't need to sign up for an account? Are they making it so people will just come there and that'll be enough? They have to find a way to make it so that's the thing that pushes you to say, I have to sign up for this or I'm going to miss out.
Scott Kleinberg from the Chicago Tribune, thanks for joining us on the Business Lunch today.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll do a quick whip around. We'll check your traffic, check the numbers. Orion will have all the news from the world of business next on 720 WGN. Thank you, Orion Samuelson, Kim Gordon, and as well, Dolly McCarthy there with all the information. Steve Bertrand here on the Wintrust Business Lunch on this Wednesday afternoon, 12:52. Let's say hello now to Star Cunningham, the founder and CEO of 4D Healthware. Star, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Thank you so much for having me. Good afternoon, Chicago.
There's a bunch of stuff I want to talk to you about, but I want to talk about what I should be wearing on my wrist right now. Tell me about this 4D Healthware product.
Absolutely. So on your wrist, there may be a Fitbit or anything else you would like. We actually have over 200 different sensors connected to our platform. And if you happen to be managing a chronic disease, there are Bluetooth-enabled glucometers, Bluetooth-enabled blood pressure cuffs, all designed around enabling you to manage yourself better in the comfort of your own home.
So 4D, what does it do, though? I mean, I understand you wear a Fitbit or you wear it works with several different platforms, but is it sort of a nurse on your wrist, or what's the idea behind it?
The idea behind it is for you to have a dashboard kind of like your car, right? So your car dashboard tells you when to do, quote-unquote, maintenance on your vehicle.
It's time to change the oil, Star.
Exactly, see? So for your body, you need something like that, that tells you when it's time to get up and go walking, that tells you it's time to drink some more water, that nudges you into better sleep habits. And 4D Healthware, the software, along with our patient engagement advisors, help you to do that.
All right, so there can be something like that now where every couple of hours it says, hey, have you had a glass of water, or hey, have you walked around the block? But I think the idea with your product is that it becomes more individualized, right, and can treat people dealing with their individual health issues.
You're absolutely right. You hear a lot. There's a buzzword out there right now, personalized medicine. But there are very few people that tell you, how do I get from take two aspirins every 4 to 6 hours to understanding what I personally need to do to improve my health? And 4D Healthware as a platform is the beginning of that, understanding who you are, where you are, understanding what you like and don't like. I don't want to encourage you to eat a plate full of broccoli if you hate broccoli. You know what I mean?
Right. But if you're dealing with diabetes or something like that, I mean, when it says it's time for you to take a drink of water, it's not monitoring your water intake, right? It's not that intrusive.
It's not that intrusive. You're absolutely right. What our sensors or the sensors today are designed to do is be alongside you.
Okay.
Work with you. Help you to know and understand data that you wouldn't know otherwise. So really getting to the point where we have sensors that understand, for example, how well your medication is working in your body, that's information that individuals are going to want to know so that they don't have to take as much medication, perhaps, or that they can change their diet so that their medication works better.
Star Cunningham is the founder and CEO of 4D Healthware. She also is a mentor. She writes a lot for entrepreneur.com, and she's an African-American female innovator, entrepreneur. And, you know, Star, we talk about Black History Month in February. I'd like to talk about Black Future a little bit more. You know, you have made it. You've gotten the funding you've needed. I'm assuming you could probably welcome a little bit more, but
always open for funding.
But we were talking last week about different startups trying to get money, African-American owned, and that it's sometimes hard. I just wonder what your take is on all of that. I mean, how are we doing societally when it comes to that?
Well, it is extremely difficult because in that first round of funding, you talk a lot to individuals about the friends and family round.
Right.
And in families with African Americans and people of color, those of us who can step out on entrepreneurial ventures like I have, we tend to be the ones with the higher education, the ones with the higher salary. And we're stepping out to do something, you know, that hasn't been done before. And our family members aren't usually individuals who can write $25,000, $50,000, and $100,000 checks. So it's very difficult in that initial friends and family round to begin to get traction. It was a friend of mine whose father-in-law invested that first $25,000.
Can you get to the next round without the first round?
No, it's very difficult because investors want to know that your friends and family believe in you first. And for a family of color, it's not necessarily that they don't believe.
Right.
It's that they haven't been exposed to entrepreneurship. I had a very well-off uncle say to me, well, sweetheart, what am I going to get for the $50,000? And he just didn't understand the concept of having equity in a company.
Right.
So for us, it's quite the challenge.
So how do you meet that? Or how do we change that so that there is money beyond friends and family?
Well, I think, first of all, that has to be recognized. That for the African American individuals, friends and family round or for significant money at that round is probably not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So angels and investors may have to get involved with our companies earlier than they do the more traditional path.
There's been a lot of talk about that. Are you seeing that it's happening?
I am seeing that it's happening. Fortunately for me, I have an amazing round of investors with Chicago businessmen and angels who listen to my story. That was a big part of it. And then I also have the credentials, having worked globally for IBM and having graduated from Kellogg with my MBA. So they understood when I told the story that it is more difficult for me than the other person who may be starting a similar venture. They opened up and started writing those checks.
I'm sorry to say I'm almost out of time, but I'm gonna squeeze a little bit more out here. So in 30 seconds, tell me, when you go to make a pitch, then do they see you as a former IBM executive with a Kellogg degree, or do they see you as an African-American woman without friends to contribute to your friends and family round?
Well, I think now they see me as both. I think that they're starting to understand that I have to have made it this far because I have something going on. And now we have to look and see what is it that can be done to assist me to be successful.
That is Star Cunningham, founder, CEO of 4D Healthware. Star, thanks very much for taking the time to talk to us today. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me. Take care now.
Bye-bye. You're listening to The Business Lunch on 720 WGN.